Appreciate another opportunity. I do want to thank the ladies for all the cooking. I've tried to tell them that myself. Man, it was no exception tonight. Very, very good. I was going through the line, and as they began to scoop the food onto the plate, I heard the Handel's Messiah in my head. And I started to hear the Hallelujah chorus, and I said, man, bless God, he's in this. And I turned around, and his phone was ringing. So, man, I thought we done got into something here. And it was his phone that was going off. And but I do appreciate everything this week's been so good. Take your Bibles, if you would, with me tonight. And turn to the book of Hezekiah, chapter number 2. And then when you find it, stand up. I was just curious. All right, 2 Kings, chapter number 20. Look at 2 Kings chapter number 20. 2 Kings chapter number 20. She found Hezekiah. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. All right. 2 Kings chapter number 20. And try to preach tonight and obey the Lord. All the messages have been real good. I know I haven't been able to sit in the morning services on all of them. I'm bivocational, and somebody asked me if I had a full-time job and a part-time job, but I've got 3 full-time jobs. I'm a father, a husband, and a pastor, and I have a job. And I don't pastor part-time. It's 24/7. Amen. So I got a couple full-time jobs, and there's other preachers that understand what I'm talking about.
Yes, sir. Amen.
So I had to do a little bit of work in the mornings, but I've appreciated all the services, the sweet spirit that's been here. And no matter what God's done, I'm very thankful for what all He's done, but we need to be aware that the devil's not happy with it.
Yes, sir. Amen.
And he's lurking in the shadows.
Yes.
And he's looking to take whatever seed God gives us this week and take it away. That's what his desire is. And we need to be careful not to allow that to steal our joy. And man, we heard the good message on rejoicing. We have so much to rejoice over.
Yes, sir.
I mean, if you can't rejoice over anything, rejoice that the King is coming back.
Amen.
The King is coming back. And there's a little bit of a tightness tonight. I don't know if it's me or what it is, but you know, I've heard preachers say, I didn't do it to you. But I might have. I don't know, but God didn't do it to you.
Yes, sir.
Amen. And so I'm gonna ask brother, would you pray for us tonight, brother? Would you stand and pray? Yes, sir. Brother McFadden.
Father, we sure appreciate the day you're here. We give you the glory and the honor for it. We give you glory for your book. And Lord, we give you the glory that we're able to meet together tonight. Pray, Lord, for the dear brother. Would you please give him liberty, Lord, as he opens the book and preaches to us? God, that we might be receivers of thy word and not just hearers, Lord, but also doers for your glory now. We pray, God, for your blood to be cover this place for your honor. In the name of Jesus.
Amen. All right, 2 Kings chapter 20 and verse number 1. And I'm just going to read a couple verses here and then kind of tell the story so that we don't take up too much time tonight. But 2 Kings chapter 20 and verse number 1. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
The Bible said, in those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amoz, came to him and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Now look with me in verse number 14. The Bible said, then came Isaiah the prophet unto King Hezekiah, and said unto him, what said these men? And from whence came they unto thee? And Hezekiah said, they are come from a far country, even from Babylon. And he said, what have they seen in thine house? And Hezekiah answered, all the things that are in mine house have they seen. There is nothing among my treasures that I have not showed them. And here we find a story in the Bible that again ought to be familiar to you, about this man named Hezekiah that was getting ready to die. He was sick unto death, the Bible says there in the very first verse. And he was a sick man about to die. He knew that his days were numbered. He knew that he was about to die. We heard of this dear lady, and Sister Raglan's a dear saint of God, man. I've been in services before with her, and she didn't say a whole lot, and she didn't make a whole lot of noise, but when God started stirring, man, and she got a song on her heart, she would stand up in the pew, and she would begin to just sing the praise of God, and the glory of God would fall on the place. Man, I've been in some services where when she stands up and starts singing, God's in the building, amen. And he's going to stick around for a few minutes. Dear saint of God, she knows she's about getting ready to die. And Hezekiah was in that time in his life where he was sick unto death, and he knew that he was about to die. He knew the end was coming. And I want to tell you tonight, church, you know these things, but America is sick.
Yes, sir. Amen.
America is sick. Man, I'm telling you what, we're in trouble. Tonight, Brother McFadden showed me some papers that were written back in 1963 in the congressional thing there about the agenda, the world's agenda, and about all these things that the communists were wanting to do. And just about everything on that list has come true. America is sick.
Yes, sir. Amen, preacher.
Now, I still believe that God can do something because I'm not going to limit God.
Yes, sir.
It's not my place to say what God can and cannot do.
Yes, sir. Amen.
It's hard to see, but God can see whatever He wants to see.
Yes, sir. Amen.
And I believe that God can still do something. And you say, well, I don't know if He can. I'm not going to put God in a box. But I know that God can still do something right here in West Memphis, Arkansas.
Yes, sir.
I still know that God can do something right here at this church.
Yes, sir. Amen.
And I still believe that can happen.
Amen.
But America is sick. A lot of churches are sick.
Amen. Amen.
I'm not just talking about the Chinese virus. They're sick. There's churches everywhere. There's churches. A dear brother was talking to me not long ago, and man, just saying, please pray for me. I don't know if our church is going to make it. And there's good preachers and there's good men of God, but the church is sick.
Yes, sir. Amen, preacher. Amen.
The church is sick. I'm telling you what, the homes are sick.
Yes, sir. Amen, preacher. Amen.
And I'm not just talking about physical sickness, but I don't know about other pastors in here, but good night, it seems like sickness is always going around.
Yes, sir. Amen.
I mean, worse than it's ever been.
Yes, sir.
I don't know if little Billy is really that sick, or if they're just using him as an excuse not to go to church.
Yes, sir. Amen, preacher.
That's a dangerous thing. Don't ever use your child as an excuse not to go to church. God just may remove the excuse. God just may set your barley wheats on fire.
Amen.
Remember that old great message Brother Mays Jackson preached? I've listened to that time and time again. When God sets your barley wheats on fire. I don't want God to have to set my barley wheat on fire to get a hold of me. Amen. I don't want Him to take my children. But I'm telling you, we got homes that are sick. The churches are sick. I'm telling you, we're living in a time today, and this world has pumped this stuff into our mind. I preached a little bit about it last night, but they pumped this virus, this junk of the world into our minds and our hearts for so long. And man, I'm telling you, we're sick.
Amen. Got it.
Yeah. You don't think America's sick? Look what they're doing to babies.
Amen. Amen, preacher.
That is sick and disgusting.
Yes, sir, preacher.
You don't think they're sick? Two men going home together?
Yes, sir. Amen, preacher.
That is sick. You don't think the church is sick? God said that the lukewarm church makes Him want to vomit.
Amen.
They're sick. They're making God sick. Make Him want to vomit. And the church, the America, man, we're in trouble. But I tell you what, the church is made up of families. Amen. We're made up of families. And we see families are in a wreck today. And man, they got all kind of problems. And we find Hezekiah here sick unto death. And he knew he was about to die. And I'm here to tell you tonight, we've heard preaching this week trying to warn us that this thing's almost over. God's coming back soon. I believe He's coming back.
Yes, sir. Amen, preacher.
Hey, there's sickness in the church. There's sickness in the home. And we know God's coming back. We know the end is near. We know that time is coming, and Hezekiah knew that himself right here. He had the privilege of knowing he was about to die. In verse number 2 and 3, and I'm not going to read all this for sake of time, but Hezekiah begins to pray to the Lord and ask for mercy.
Amen.
There's churches today that are on the brink of collapse. They're on the brink of closing. And I've talked to some of the men and I asked them, I said, hey, are y'all having regular prayer meetings?
Yes, sir. Amen, preacher.
No. I mean, y'all aren't meeting up at the church on Saturday nights and praying that God would heal the church?
Yes, sir. Amen, preacher.
No, we're not doing that. That's a good idea.
No, he did.
I'm serious.
Really?
We're in trouble in America. Some of the churches are in trouble. I'm talking about, man, I was just around some great men of God that whenever things weren't going right, whenever it seemed like there was a stiffness and a stillness in the church and God wasn't moving, they called for a prayer meeting.
Yes, sir. Amen. Amen.
Brother Ellis said he used to say that the missions conference is the least attended meeting, but now it's the prayer meeting.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And Hezekiah here prayed to the Lord and he asked for mercy. And if you want to read his exact prayer, we're not going to do it tonight, but his exact prayer is in Isaiah chapter 38, verse 9 through 22. You can read the prayer that Hezekiah read and talked to God about. You say, what is that prayer? In a nutshell, he's talking to God about how good he's been and about how good God's been to him and how God's allowed him to serve him. And then he goes on to say, Lord, they can't praise you from the dead. Lord, they can't exalt you from the grave, but the living can.
Yeah.
He's like, God, if you'll just give me some more life, God, if you'll just give me a shot and you'll give me a little bit of life, then I can praise you and I can worship you.
Man.
God needs to give some of us in here tonight a little lift. We need God.
Amen. Amen.
And he prayed and said, hey, go read his prayer sometime. Over there in Isaiah chapter 38, he said that they can't praise you from the grave. They can't exalt you from the dead. Amen. They can't exalt you from there. But I tell you, he says the living, he says it two times, amen, shall praise you.
Man.
Lord, yeah.
And then God does something for him that is incredible. God tells him, I'm going to give you 15 more years.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Man, imagine that. You know you're about to die. I mean, you know, he said, I'm about to die. I know I'm going to die. Back over in the prayer in Isaiah 38, he told God, I know I'm about to die, but Lord, have mercy on me. And God said, I'm going to give you 15 more years. I'm telling you, church, we have this book in our lap that tells us the time is drawing near.
Amen.
Amen. The time. Hey, in the last days, perilous times shall come.
Amen.
You know what God's saying? Your time's drawing near.
Right.
Your time's drawing near.
Yes, sir.
We're getting close to this thing. Hezekiah had the privilege of knowing that he had 15 more years. If you knew that you had 15 more years tonight, what would you do with it? I'm not preaching on that thought tonight, but I've often thought about that. And you say, well, I would do this and do this and do this. I'm telling you, if you're going to do something for God, you better get doing it right now. If you're going to win your loved ones, you better do it right now. If we're going to do something for God, we better do it right now. The time is drawing near. Hezekiah gets his prayer answered. I mean, he asked God to have mercy and God said, I'll answer your prayer. Amen. I appreciate the message, Brother Bill Grady. I've heard it preached several times, but are you smarter than a fifth grader? Old Legion over there got his prayers answered.
Yes, sir.
Amen. And most of God's children can't get theirs answered, but Hezekiah did.
Yes,
Hezekiah got 15 more years given to him. And Hezekiah, like a good Jew does, said, Lord, give me a sign. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 22 says the Jews require a sign.
Yes, sir.
And so he asked God for a sign and Isaiah comes to him and prays and he prays to God and said, will you give this man a sign? And he turned the clock back. It said 15. He knocked it back. Amen. He turned the clock back on the sundial there and marked it back 10 degrees. He moved the shadow back 10 degrees. That also happened over in the book of Joshua. Amen.
Yes,
when they were fighting there and Joshua prayed and asked that the sun would stand still. Amen. These great men of God could get a hold of the Lord.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Elijah praying down fire from heaven. These folks knew how to get a hold of God. Everybody that tries to date the coming of the Lord, these events mess them up.
Yes, sir. Amen. Yes, sir.
They're going to be off by about a whole day. That's what Joshua said. In about 10 degrees. Amen. They're going to be off trying to date. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus, is my prayer. But Ezekiel shows here that he's trusting God. He prays and asks God, and God answers that prayer. Look with me at verse number 12, and I'm going to get to the message. The Bible says here in verse number 12, and at that time, Baladan, the son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent letters and a present unto Hezekiah. For he had heard that Hezekiah had been sick. And Hezekiah hearkened unto them and showed them all the house of his precious things, the silver and the gold and the spices and the precious ointment and all the house of his armor and all that was found in his treasures. There was nothing in his house nor in all his dominion that Hezekiah showed them not. Then came Isaiah the prophet unto King Hezekiah and said unto him, "What said these men? And from whence came they unto thee?" And Hezekiah said, "They are come from a far country, even from Babylon." They were strangers, amen. And he said, "What have they seen in thine house?" And Hezekiah answered, "All the things that are in mine house have they seen. There is nothing among my treasures that I have not showed them." And Isaiah goes on to give him a warning from the Lord to tell him the enemy is going to take everything from you. Hezekiah, you're given 15 more years. And you go and open up your door to the enemy and show him everything.
Amen. Amen.
Because of arrogance. Because of pride.
Yes, sir.
Because of look at what I've done. God has done a miraculous thing here, and Hezekiah is lifted up with pride because of it. And all of a sudden, verse 19 through 21 covers the last 15 years of Hezekiah's life. Hezekiah had 15 years. He had 15 years that he could have done anything with for the glory of God. And the Bible does say he went on to build conduits and all those things. But when it comes to his house, at the very beginning of the chapter, Hezekiah knows he's about to die. And the man of God says to get your house in order. That's the warning that he gives them. Hey, the time's drawing near. You need to get your house in order.
Amen.
You need to get things set up. You're about to die. You're about to go off the scene. You need to get your house in order. Hey, you need to have something to leave your kids. You need to have something to leave your family that they can live off of spiritually.
Amen.
And there, he's getting ready to die. Get your house in order. And then he's given a gift of 15 more years. And all of a sudden the enemy comes in. And the enemy they don't come banging on the door saying, "We're going to steal everything you got."
Amen.
They don't do that. They come in and say, "Man, we're glad you're feeling better.
Yes, sir. Amen, preacher.
Man, we're glad you're doing so much better.
Amen.
And we're going to bring you presents." And King Hezekiah, if you go back and read his prayer over in Isaiah chapter 38, he's talking about all the great things he had done for God.
Preach, brother.
If you remember the story over in Isaiah 38, he's talking about all the great things he had done for God. And God did answer his prayer. And these enemy shows up here. And all of a sudden, he's full with pride. And he begins to show his entire home to the enemy. I mean, he shows them where all the treasures are. He shows them where all the armory is. That would be like the United States of America opening up our silos and opening up our military and opening up all of our places where we make weapons and showing it to China. Showing it to Russia. Showing it to North Korea. Amen. Open it all up and say, "Hey, come look how we make this and come look at all this." I mean, just opening everything up to the enemy. You say, "That's foolish." We do the same thing in our home.
Amen, brother. Amen.
Now, I'm not going to preach on this again tonight like I did last night, but I'm telling you what, we do it in our home. When we allow the devil to have free access to whatever he wants in our home.
Yes, sir. Amen.
When he has access to our children and our home and our marriage, we open that thing up and the devil has free reign, just like Hezekiah opened up his home and showed the enemy absolutely everything. But he's told here in verse number 1 to set thine house in order. And I'm here to tell you tonight, church, that the time is drawing near. And more than ever, we need to set our house in order. We need to get things in order for Him. He's coming back soon. It's worth it for our family and our children. It's worth it for the church for us to get right with Him and set our house in order. And I want to look at that for a few minutes tonight. Hezekiah asked, Isaiah asked Hezekiah, he said, Hey, what all did you show them? What all did you show the enemy? He said, I showed them absolutely everything. I showed him everything. And I want to ask this question tonight. Now, I'll give you the message and move on with the service, whatever God wants. I'm going to ask you tonight, if we were allowed to go through your house and see everything, would we come out of there saying, man, that's a child of God?
Amen.
Or would we come out of there saying, man, they love football?
Amen, preacher.
Yes, sir.
Our man, they love basketball.
Yes, sir. Amen, preacher.
Our man, they love, must be a really good movie because they love that movie. They got posters all over their house of that movie.
Amen.
Hey, what would they see in our house?
Amen.
You know, when I was younger, I remember it was an honor for somebody to open up their home to the man of God.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Anytime a preacher came through town, anytime a missionary and evangelist, people were excited to have the preacher over. But now you can't even get church folks to have their own pastor over because they're embarrassed to have anybody in their home.
Amen.
That has a spiritual bone in their body, they're embarrassed to have them there.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Our homes are in a mess in this country. They're in a mess in our churches. And I'm telling you here, Hezekiah said, what have they seen in thine house? And I want to ask tonight, what is seen in your home?
Amen.
What is seen in my home? And I just want to give you a few things tonight that ought to be seen in our home. Some things that ought to be seen in our home. Number one, the Scriptures ought to be seen in our home.
Amen.
Turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy very quickly. The book of Deuteronomy very quickly. He's told here, Hezekiah, to set thine house in order. Set thine house in order. Deuteronomy chapter number 6 and look at verse number 4. The Bible says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I have commanded thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. Do you know what should be seen in our house tonight? The Word of God should be seen in our house. I'm of the belief that you ought to have the Word of God plastered all over the house.
Amen.
I remember as a child growing up, we had Scripture everywhere. You couldn't get away from it. And man, I won't forget those verses. And I won't forget seeing Scripture in the bedroom, in my bedroom as a child, and seeing them in the living room, and seeing them in the dining room, and seeing them in the kitchen. Hey, the Word of God was posted everywhere.
That's good, preacher. That's good.
You said, I can't afford a sign. Well, here, they just got something and wrote it on the post.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Some of y'all are real artistic. Amen. Ask your mom first. Then post Scripture.
Wow, brother.
It's better than having a poster of LeBron James.
Yes, sir. Amen, preacher. Amen.
That's right.
Hates God.
Yes, sir.
Amen. That's right.
Amen.
Praise, brother.
It's better than having some whore or whoremonger from Hollywood or some celebrity singer up on the wall. It's better than putting that up in there. Man, put the Word of God. We're commanded to teach our children the Scriptures. And I'm telling you what, we need to get back to the Bible or we'll end up back in the jungle.
Yes, sir. Amen.
We're not far from it. We need the Word of God plastered all over the house. I believe it. Amen.
Amen.
Why? The book told me to do it.
That's right.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Put the scripture everywhere.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Growing up, we had one in the bathroom.
Amen.
Every time I went to the bathroom and Amen was sitting in there, there was scripture right in front of me. We couldn't get away from it. And I thank God for it.
Yes, sir.
I'm telling you what, every time we find in the Bible there, even when Jesus Christ Himself is being tempted of the devil, He quoted Scripture, amen. Hey, we need to plead the blood. We need the blood of Jesus Christ on our home. And I'm telling you what, we ought to plaster it everywhere.
Amen.
Man, when I was younger, I remember even, I'm older now and I still do it. Man, I remember going around to preachers and asking them to sign my Bible.
Yes, sir. Amen, preacher.
That means more to me than any athlete alive signing my Bible.
Yes, sir. Amen, preacher.
Any kind of celebrity. I'm talking about, hey, falling in love with God, with our home, and having scriptures absolutely everywhere. Not only do we need to have them plastered all over the wall, but we need to get back to reading it in the home.
Amen.
I'm talking about as a family. I'm talking about together. Man, I remember too growing up, and we do this with our kids. Hey, there's no breakfast until you read the Word of God.
Amen, preacher.
Amen.
Yes, sir. That's good.
And I made it to breakfast, you can tell. I read the Bible this morning before breakfast.
Yes, sir. Amen, preacher.
But you know what? That was instilled in me as a child.
Yes, sir.
And we need to get back to that.
Yes, sir. Amen. Preacher.
We need to get back to the book. Amen.
Amen.
We need to get back to reading it. Instead of our kids going to bed after watching some movie, they ought to go to bed after reading the Word of God.
Yes, sir.
And
amen.
After hearing their parents amen. Pray over them. And I'm telling you what, we need to see Scripture in the home.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I was a drug baby. I was drugged to church on Sunday morning and drugged to church on Wednesday. And I was drugged to church during revival. And I was drugged to church on camp meeting. Amen.
Amen.
It is tight in here.
No, I'm glad you clarified the drug baby because I was trying to figure out why she said amen.
Yeah, I don't know her.
Hey, I was drugged to church too and I praise God for it.
Amen.
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 I'm glad you clarified the drug part. That's all. Amen.
I forgot where I was.
Yes, you did.
I'm thankful for the scriptures.
Yes, sir.
But that, man, we ought to have them plastered all over the place. We ought to read them. We ought to memorize them.
Yes, sir. Amen, preacher.
Amen.
Amen.
Man, I remember the times when I was younger, and I'm trying the best I can. We live in a busy, busy world.
Yes, sir.
But I'm telling you, you can't neglect the Word of God. You can't afford to do that.
Yes, sir.
You need to set thine house in order.
Amen.
And sometimes we intend to do those things, but we get so busy that they get forgotten.
Yes, sir. Amen.
I mean, getting back, me personally, I believe you ought to have personal devotions every morning. Every person in the family, my 5-year-old daughter, she's learning how to read. She's not there, quite there yet, but she'll open up her Bible and she'll hear one of us reading and she's acting like she's reading right along with us. And I'm telling you what, I don't know how she knows it, but if I just open her Bible and hand it to her, somehow she knows she's not on the same page as me.
That's good preaching.
Amen?
Amen.
And she sits there and the other ones try to sit there and read their Bible. I believe you ought to have personal devotion in the morning and then at night you ought to have family devotion.
Amen, preacher.
It's very quiet. I'm telling you, the time is drawing near, and we ought to set thine house in order.
Yes, sir. Amen.
We're running out of time.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
You realize tonight, church, that if we don't do these things, we are playing with our children's future.
Amen.
We're playing with it. And we're replacing the Word of God with entertainment.
Yes, sir. Amen.
With activities.
Yes, sir.
With sports.
Yes, sir.
All these things, and it's good. I enjoy sports. I enjoy activity. But we, in the average Christian home, have replaced the Word of God with all those things.
Yes, sir. Amen, preacher. Amen.
Scriptures need to be seen. They need to be read. They need to be posted. They need to be everywhere.
Amen.
Back to when I was a drug baby, you threw me off. I remember having to memorize scripture. Yeah, amen. I mean, mom and dad, not just children's church, but memorizing scripture. And I thank God for it.
Amen.
Amen. I thank God for it. It has helped me. The Bible says, hide thy word in thine heart that thou might not sin against thee.
Yes, sir. Amen.
It might keep you out of sin. Memorizing Scripture.
Yes, sir.
Not only should Scriptures be seen in your house, but songs should be seen in your house.
Yes, sir.
If we were to go into your house today and we were be allowed to rummage through the house, what kind of songs would we find in the house?
Yes, sir. Amen, preacher.
Amen.
What kind of songs would there be? You say, what kind should we have? The Bible says in Ephesians 5:19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord.
Amen.
And there's no coincidence that that's found in Ephesians chapter 5, because shortly after this, he begins to deal with the home.
Yes, sir. Amen.
He begins to deal with the husband and the wife, and then Ephesians 6 chapter 1. But before he gets to any of that, he said, you need to sing to the Lord. There ought to be some songs being played in your home.
Yes, sir. Amen, preacher.
I mean, ladies, when you're cleaning, get you some good God-honoring music and put it on and clean for the glory of God. Man, if you're out there working and mowing grass, get you some good ear pods or give you some good things and get you some songs of Zion on, something that magnifies the Lord and lifts Him up. And hey, get some songs in the home.
Amen.
I've walked into homes before, and as soon as I cross the threshold, the spirit that is within me is quenched. And there's nothing going on. There's no music. There's nothing. But I'm telling them, it's quenched. And come to find out, there's some ungodly... Hey, every music has a spirit.
Yes, sir. Amen. Preacher.
All music is spiritual.
Amen.
Every bit of music is spiritual. It just depends on what spirit it is.
Amen.
The devil, Lucifer, was a musical being.
Right.
You realize tonight that the devil tries to imitate everything that God has done. You know, today, God has churches. I believe this is a church that God's pleased with.
Amen.
Amen, I do.
Sir, amen.
I believe it is, and I'm thankful for it. God has churches that He's pleased with. Hey, but I'm telling you right now, the devil's got churches.
Yes, sir. Amen.
God's got Baptist churches.
Yes, sir. Amen.
The devil has some Baptist churches.
Yes, sir. Amen. Preacher.
Because
yes,
you see, an anti-Christ, an imitator, they try to make it as close as they possibly can,
yes, sir,
to the real thing.
Amen.
They get as close to the line as they can. Some of those professional artist thieves, man, they could paint these beautiful drawings and make it look almost like the real thing, almost like the original, but it's fake.
Yes, sir. Amen.
But it's fake. And the devil, he has churches. God has churches.
Amen.
God has men that He has called to pastor. The devil's got men he's using.
I believe it.
And I'm not talking about in all these big old liberal fallout because they don't care. I'm talking about ones that look a lot like the real thing. The devil tries to imitate everything. God's got a book. And I'm thankful I'm holding it.
Yes, sir. Amen.
But guess what? The devil does too. And it's called the NIV or the Holman Christian Standard or the ASV or the RSV or the HIV or whatever you want to call it. The devil's got a book too. And it looks real similar.
Yes, sir.
To the real thing.
Amen, preacher. Amen.
God's got music that honors Him. I believe we'll hear some God-honoring music. We heard some tonight, but it's so tight in here, God can't do nothing.
Yes, sir. Praise, brother.
Amen. Sister Carter was singing, man, that's a gorgeous song.
Yes, sir. Amen, preacher.
God wants to do something if we'll let Him.
Yes, sir.
But guess what? So does the devil. He's got Christian music.
Amen.
That sounds a lot like the real thing. But it's a con.
Yeah.
It's contemporary.
That's right.
It's a con because it's fake. It's not the real spirit, not the real thing, and it's only temporary.
Oh, amen.
It's contemporary music. But there's music that'll magnify the Lord Jesus Christ and lift Him up, but the devil's got something that's real close to it.
Amen.
And I'm seeing more and more and more of God's children in churches that are toeing that line.
Amen.
Praise God.
And it's a different spirit.
Praise God.
You can take Amazing Grace and sing it with the wrong spirit, and God's not right with it. God's not happy with it. I'm talking about we need to sing songs in our home. In our house, my wife, I thank God for my wife. I thank God we're on the same page. But in our dining room is also our music room. We have Scripture all over the house. And inside of our dining room where our piano is and where the guitar is, she has hymns all over the room. You say, what's hymns? It's songs about Him. As songs that magnify Him, that lift Him up. And I'm telling you, we need to see the songs in our home. It's time we get thine house in order. The Bible says in Colossians 3:16, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. I believe we need to see Scriptures in the home again. We need to see songs in the home again. You know, another thing we need to see in the home again is godly submission. Amen. Godly submission. I'm talking about the order of the home that God would have us to have. I preached on that a little bit last night, so I won't stay on it. But everybody has their place. And we need to see that back in the home again. We need to see that godly submission back in the home again. Do you realize tonight that our home and our marriage, if you're married here tonight, is a picture of Christ in the church? Yes, sir. Man, what an example we have. And we all have a head. I talked about that last night. But we need to see that godly submission back in the home, all the way from the husband, all the way down to the animals. You know, tonight, and I hope you're not one of those in here tonight, where your dog obeys better than your children.
Yeah. Yeah. Right,
I mean, there's some people there, their animal obeys better than their children.
Yeah.
Amen.
I can't stand cats. I can't stand them. But we have two of them. And they're not mine, even though I named one of them. But I can't stand cats. And somebody told me one time, you cannot train a cat. But the cats in our home, they will lay there and you're walking with groceries and they won't move. They expect you to walk around them. Did you know you can feed a dog and you can pet it and say, good doggy, I love you doggy. And that doggy thinks that you're God. I mean, it'll do whatever you want. It thinks you're God. You feed it and love it and pet it. A cat, you feed it, love it and pet it, and it thinks it's God. But let me tell you how to train a cat. Walking in with groceries, walking up the stairs, and the stinking thing won't move. So, up on the wall, spot's still there. We saw that house a move, but the spot is still there where that cat landed. That cat moves every time I walk in the room. I trained the cat. No cats were injured during the filming of this kick. But it moves every time. When I come in the room, and I even try to pet it, but it won't come near me, and I'm fine, I'm okay with it. But we're laughing. There's some people say, hey, come watch my dog. Sit, boy. Jump, boy. Roll over, boy. Shake hands, boy. And the son's in the background. Son, would you please stop?
Yeah.
Please. Would you please stop, son? Yeah. 10. 9.
Yeah.
8.
Oh, my.
Would you please stop? 1 3/4. 1 1/2. 1 1/4. What if I buy you a soda? What if I go get you an ice cream? Yeah. Would you stop then?
Oh, mercy.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about the world. I'm talking about Christians' homes.
Yeah.
I was in a home not long ago. Last week. And the kid was being a royal pain. I mean, I'm talking about royal pain. And they did the whole number counting thing. And I said, dear Lord, man, take the kid in there and give him the right hand of fellowship where God designed it to go. And by the time they got done counting, they said, if we go get ice cream this afternoon and go to the park, will you please stop? And that kid said, will you throw in sprinkles? He didn't say that. But that's the average home.
Yes, sir. Amen. Yeah. Amen.
Which boy can I use?
I was going to get Tori. Come back in. I'm sorry, son.
It was going to be Tori, but he didn't know he went to the airport.
Does any young people in here know what a hickory is?
Oh, yeah.
I said, young people, Brother Middlebrooks. He's the only one. You said, what's a hickory?
It was the right-handed
fork. Well, this ain't hickory. This is bamboo.
No,
and
no, we use a belt.
We use the belt and the fist.
All right, well, I'm not getting into all that. Extension cord, brother?
You get arrested for that.
You get arrested for this too. But the Bible says the rod of correction, whatever shape that comes in, if it's orange with a plug on the end of it, that's up to you. That's between you and God. But I'm telling you right now, the Bible said there was a place made for it. Amen. I thank God for this.
That's going to hurt, brother.
And that's gonna hurt. I'm talking about biblical submission back in the home.
That's
going to
hurt, man.
Biblical submission back in... You wearing a wallet?
Yeah.
Move it.
Damn, brother, damn.
Hey, spare the rod, spoil the child.
Amen.
Amen.
I believe the Bible says somewhere in Proverbs about you not doing this, it could send your kid to hell.
Amen.
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 Yes, sir. Amen.
You're doing your child a disservice. And parents, I'm talking about when they're young, it needs to start off with the first time.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes, sir, preacher.
Say, I've got to take him out all the time. He knows.
Yes, sir, preacher. Yes, sir.
Dear Lord, his son gets taken out all the time.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen.
Yes, sir.
But guess what? The little guy sat through a whole entire service the other day and didn't budge.
Amen.
That child knows how far to go with you.
Yes, sir. Amen, preacher.
My dad did us right, man, but he was over at my house a couple years ago, and we were talking and fellowshipping, and I told my daughter to do something, and a few minutes later I told her again, and a little bit later I told her again, and my dad said, what are you doing? I said, I don't know. What did I do? He goes, you told her three times. I said, I did. I don't remember telling her three times. He goes, well, you did.
Amen.
And that child is going to push you as far as they can possibly push you. But it needs to be the first time. Can I just demonstrate and listen? You obey whatever your pastor says, all right? I hope you're not preaching extension cord, brother. All right, so.
I just do it.
No. It don't start off with that. Son, do you realize what you did wrong?
Should have worn some thicker pants.
Smacking gum in church.
My breath was stinking, sir. Sorry. Amen.
So, do you understand what you did wrong?
Yes, sir.
Amen. You know why I have to do this?
Yes, sir.
And you know it's going to hurt me more than it hurts you.
It don't.
If you've ever had to do this in a very serious moment, parents, it breaks your heart.
Yes, sir. Amen, preacher.
And it should.
Amen, preacher.
And it should. Now, you understand I have to do this because I love you. Tim first. Hey, if something would have happened to him, I would have been doing this. All right?
That might hurt, baby.
Huh? Alright, you moved.
Oh, what?
Don't move. We don't throw fits.
Yes, sir, amen.
And we don't ever throw ourselves on the floor.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Mama, If you don't want that baby embarrassing you in the middle of the grocery store, do this at home. Daddy, if you don't want him embarrassing that mama and come home to her crying, do this at home. Train up a child. The Bible doesn't say just react to the child every time. Train up a child. In our house, if I ever said I was bored, I was out picking rocks out of a grass that haven't seen rocks in 20 years. All right, don't move.
Yes, sir.
All right. Took it easy on that time. You moved! And then, now listen, the crime determines what the punishment is.
Yes, sir. Amen, preacher. Yes, sir.
I mean, if you break out the extension cord on something small and they're only two, they're still trying to figure things out. But listen, son, I had to do that because I love you. And let's pray about this thing. And we're going to pray. And Lord, would you help us? And God, thank you for my son. And thank you, God, that you've dealt with his heart about this thing. And God, I'm sorry that I had to do this, but Lord, you've given us the example of punishing us sometimes, Lord, and chastening us.
Amen.
And God, I'm thankful for that example, and we want to please you, and we want a home that looks like the Lord Jesus Christ in the church.
Yes, sir.
And Father, I'm sorry I have to do this, but you've told me to do it. And God, I love my son, and I want him to do something for your glory and honor.
Amen, preacher. That's good preaching, brothers.
All right. What not to do. And I'm going to move on. I got to hurry. All right, so... I can't believe you did that. I can't believe... Now go to your room. Go sit down. And what's real bad is when that little guy doesn't even understand what he did.
Yes, sir. Amen, preacher. Amen.
And now all of a sudden he's got resentment towards you.
Yes,
and
sir.
He's got resentment towards the preacher because he preaches discipline.
Yes, sir. Amen, preacher.
And he don't understand what's happening.
Amen.
I was always taught, do not ever do it when you're angry.
Amen.
Amen.
But at the same time, amen, I knew Daddy was serious.
Amen.
But parent, if you want to put the fear of God on, that's okay. But you get with God somewhere and pray for just a second before you go in there. Because you might do something that you'll regret.
Amen.
Amen. You say, what do we need? We need to set our house in order.
Yes, sir.
Why? God's coming back soon.
Yes, sir. Amen.
And I need God to save my children at a young age, but not just save them. I want them to fall in love with God and fall in love with the church and fall in love with the man of God and fall in love with the book. And it's going to take setting our house in order.
Amen.
We got to get some things right.
Yes, sir. Preacher.
And Dad, it starts with us.
Yes, sir.
I realize we delegate authority to the wife, and I understand that. She's not a format, and she's not the one that needs to talk to the bill collector, and she's not the one that needs to deal with the problems. I'm telling you tonight, it starts with us. It starts with us, with us, with us.
Amen, preacher. Amen. Amen, preacher.
Submission. Let me give you the last one, and then I'm going to give an illustration. I'll be done. Last of all, the Savior needs to be seen in the home.
Amen.
Oh, there's so many directions we could go. God is love.
Yes, sir. Amen, preacher.
Man, a home that just has love and peace,
yes,
and
sir,
joy and happiness,
yes,
and thankfulness.
Yes, sir. Amen, preacher.
And manners.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Things that are decent and in order.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Thankful for a home where the children have to say thank you.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, and yes, sir, and yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am, and having some peace and joy and love in the home.
Amen.
Need to get our home in order. And you know, one of the places I believe that we could start is with personal devotion and family devotion.
Amen, preacher.
I believe with all my heart, if we would get back to the family altar,
yes, sir, preacher,
it would fix a whole lot of things going on in our home.
Yes, sir. Amen, preacher.
I want to give an illustration of a family altar. Will you bring your family up here?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Would you be all right with that?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I put the stick up. All right. Would y'all just stand up here? I would say sit down. It's a long way down there. The family altar. I really believe with my whole heart that we need to get back to this.
Amen.
You know, because the average home, we just finished eating dinner. Everybody's in a different room.
Amen. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Or we just finished eating dinner with a dinner tray watching television.
Yes, sir. Praise, brother.
In the average home, that's what we just finished doing.
That's right.
And now we're scrambling to get ready for the next day, trying to get the kids in bed, brush your teeth, do what you got to do, get a bath, get in bed. Why is that light still on?
Yeah, that's right.
And that's how we go to bed every night.
Amen. Amen, preacher.
You say, well, what do you think? I think we ought to get back to the book.
Yes, sir.
Amen. We ought to get back to the Bible. Deuteronomy taught them how to do these things. I don't have time to go over all the verses. They taught them to teach them to their children and have family devotions after we have supper together at the table every night that we possibly can.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Every night we possibly can, we eat supper at the table together.
Amen.
No phones, no devices. Amen. How was your day, kid? What's going on with you?
Right.
Amen.
I told you that girl wouldn't like you. Just get over her. And then we get together before we go to bed. Everybody's ready for bed and we're sitting around and we open the Word of God. Daddy opens up the Word of God and says, I'm going to read a verse of Scripture. I'm going to have everybody read a verse.
Amen.
And he opens up the Word of God and somebody's calling right now telling me to hurry up. I'm hurrying. Psalms chapter 48. Well, I'll just turn here. And so we're going to open up the Word of God. And the Bible says, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness. Beautiful for situation. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great King. And I'm going to have everybody read maybe, or I'm going to read, and then we're going to talk about it.
Amen.
Just for... Hey, you don't have to preach an hour long during devotion. They get to hear it every Sunday. But just read a couple verses.
Amen.
And talk about it.
Amen.
Say, what has the Lord spoke to you about that verse? And I tell you what, you do that every night with a 5-year-old, it's interesting.
Yes, it actually is.
And sometimes I get my pen and paper out like, really?
I remember the day, yeah.
That was pretty good.
Yeah.
And so, we're going to read some verses, we're going to talk about it. And then we're going to sing. As a family. So we can't sing. It don't matter. Nobody else is in there. Go turn the shower water on upstairs and just sing downstairs. Let's sing this right here. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth. Here's Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great King.
Oh, King, I'm sorry, King. Oh, God.
And so we're going to sing a song.
I thought we just did.
We just did.
Oh.
All right. And then, as a father, I'm going to ask each one of the children to pray.
Amen. Yep.
I'm going to say, will you pray? We're not going to do it right now, but I'm going to say, will you pray? And then will you pray? And sometimes if you have sweet time of devotion, you'll hear them pray things that you didn't even know was on their heart.
Amen. Yes. Amen. Amen.
And during this time too, we have missionaries at our church that we're responsible, our family's responsible for, and we'll pray for them at that time.
Amen.
And we'll go around, and then me, I'm going to lay my hand on my son, and I'm going to pray for him.
Amen.
Then I'm going to lay my hand on my daughter and pray for her. Amen. Then I'm going to lay my hand on my wife, and I'm going to pray for her.
Amen, preacher.
And then
Amen.
At that point, we're going to go to bed.
Amen.
Having family devotion, a family altar.
Amen.
Man, I'm telling you, this right here would fix the family unit.
Amen.
Every night, if your kids can hear you praying over them.
Amen.
You said, I don't have a husband to do it. You do it.
Yes, sir. Amen, preacher.
You do it. I don't have a wife. You do it anyway.
Yes, sir. Amen.
I'm a grandparent. You do it.
Yes, sir. Amen, preacher.
You do it.
Amen.
We need to set our house in order.
Preach, brother. Amen.
And I'm done. Let's all stand.
Amen.
I don't know if you practice any of these things in your home, or if you've got scriptures in your home, or you got Bible verses or songs in your home. I don't know what it is tonight, and I tried my best to obey God on what to preach tonight. Man, the Lord was so good to us last night, and I tried my best to obey Him. But I'm going to ask you tonight, church, is your home in order? Every head bowed, every eye closed, she begins to play. If God spoke to your heart tonight, family, hey, when's the last time, Dad, that you prayed over your kids on an altar? When's the last time you prayed over your wife on the altar and grabbed her by the hand and said, hey, let's go down to the altar of the church of God and let's pray over my family and ask God's blessings over my family. Ask that God would touch the home. Ask that God would touch my family. Ask that God would use my children for His glory and His honor. Parents, there's kids that won't make a move to the altar because they've never seen you make the move to the altar. We have to train them up and teach them how to worship God and how to fall in love with their Bible and read it and show them by example. The time is drawing near. The Lord's coming back. It's time to set thine house in order.